What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of CFTV Live. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined as always by Jeff Woody, and we are presented by our good friends at AgriGold. If you're looking for a superior corn seed, superior seed hybrid, AgriGold is a people. They're the people you want to know, Jeff.
I'm personally not, but if I was, it'd be an absolute go-to with AgriGold.
Definitely. Look them up online. AgriGold, they are always the presenting sponsor of CFTV Live. We're going to go back to school today, Jeff Woody.
All right.
You're going to take us to school.
I don't know if it was like coincidence. I just kind of threw this on, but going back to school, I'm dressed as the guy you get a basketball from at State Gym in my short, brief time at Iowa State working in the rec facilities. So I decided to throw my own Iowa State stuff back on so I can actually like teach something. So one of the reasons why Jared brought this up for me to do is because we've had a couple of, like, questions as to what the difference between like a 3-4 and the 4-2-5 and the 4-3, like, what's the difference? And then it's also easy to show on a whiteboard what it matters or doesn't matter why Jake Campos may not be healthy. And it's easy to say in words, but it's better to say in drawings. So this is the 3-4 front. For those of you guys that aren't familiar, what the words mean are three. The first one is defensive linemen, and the second one is linebackers. So I'm trying to style this after what every super sexist college program does with their women's day of being nice and flat is 3-4. Three defensive linemen, four linebackers. Now, in a 3-4, this is what Iowa State ran last year. The difference between a 3-4 and a 4-3 is how much the defensive line has to do. So in a 3-4, you'll notice that there's nobody covering the guards right now. So an offensive guard, as you guys know, they're big SOBs. This is a Nick Fett at 6'7", 315, 320 pound dude. So most of the time, linebackers don't match up size-wise with a guard. So in a 3-4, what your defensive linemen have to do is they have to be a lot bigger, because these three guys, their main goal is to hold up any one of these five dudes, because you're trying to let your linebackers run around and make tackles. Think of the defensive line as the offensive line of the defense, where the offensive line is trying to get the running back to get untouched. The defensive line is trying to get these linebackers untouched. So in a base defense with a 3-4, everybody has to assume for a gap. So this is called a buck backer. So this buck backer is going to be outside here, 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 and here. There's your base defense. It's called the Sam linebacker. It's called to the strength. This guy is kind of playing in space. So in a 3-4 base defense, this is all what you're going to do. Now, again, if this guy isn't a big son of a gun that can hold up a guard, this linebacker is going to get popped pretty quickly. So defensive linemen in a 3-4 have a lot more to do because there's less of them to accomplish the same exact job. Now, if you look at the screen, if our fine cameraman, Adam Gray, is going to pan over, the difference between a 3-4 and a 4-3 is that you have more defensive linemen and less second-level players. So instead of having a true nose and two ends, you've now got four guys to play up front. Now, this is Alabama, and all of you guys can attest to the fact that Alabama's a relatively good defense. I mean, if you like that whole NFL prospects and holding people to 7 points a game thing. So different than a 3-4, your 4-3 has more dudes. Again, if we switch these around, 4-3. Most of the way these guys are going to align is end, tackle, nose, end. And then inside, you're going to have Will, Mike, Sam. So go ahead.
So you say with, you know, when Iowa State switched to that 3-4 last year, does having guys like Dale Pearson, is he just fit better in a 3-4 defense like that? He's a little bit shorter, maybe a little bit stockier than compared to like a Mitchell Myers or a Justin Thomas?
So Dale Pearson is a really interesting hybrid of a guy where he's shorter, but he's actually lighter. So where Dale would actually be a better fit is in a 4-3. And here's why. So in that last one, you saw that the guards were uncovered, where you have there's open space for a guard to climb up to a linebacker. In a 4-3, you'll see that this guard is covered here, this tackle's covered here, this nose is the difference between these two, and this end is covered here. There are no uncovered linemen. So where Dale would actually benefit is in the 3-4, this guy is right here, which has the capacity for a double team on either side. So the guard could come out to get him or the tackle could come down. So Dale had to deal with two guys almost every single play, where in a 4-3, you're one-on-one with a tackle, easy money. So what Dale, even though he's a shorter, kind of stockier guy, he's a little bit lighter, which means rather than taking on 600 pounds of human, if I can take on 300 pounds of human, that's quite a bit better for me. Mm-hmm. Now, where this has its benefits is if you're playing a spread offense, which Iowa State's going to see quite a bit, then you can pull backers out of the box. If you're playing a guy with just, and there's just a tailback and a quarterback in the box, your Mike can play here and your Will can play here. So this 4-2-5 that they have, they want to have really athletic linebackers. So again, if I'm not sure if Alabama is still available, one of the things that Alabama does is in this look, they're bumped to this loaded side. So one of the things that a four down line look allows you to do is play around with your linebackers. If I were to draw a line at the end of this box, you've only got five dudes in there. But because of this, so because of this spread look, you can detach linebackers. Because if you're in a 4-3, or excuse me, a 3-4, as I drop my marker, if you're in a 3-4, you have three guys here, you have to keep two linebackers in, and the only guys you can play with are those other people, mm-hmm. this Buckbacker and the Sam, who are naturally in space anyway. So this allows you more flexibility because all of these linemen are responsible for run fits. So all of this look, you can be much more, I guess, free. Because in space, if this guy's playing here, you can still blitz there. You can still play here, here, and here. And so I'm still gap sound.
So that would definitely play into the strength of a guy like Willie Harvey.
Willie Harvey is going to flourish in this defense because this is where Willie Harvey plays. He's a Will backer. Kane Seeley is the Mike. And a Mike backer is generally your bigger, stouter guy. He's, I don't mean to be mean to Kane, but he's not the best runner. This is the guy that's going to play downhill. If you're ever bumping somebody out of the box, meaning this, we're going to move him here. Again, for a little more 101, for those of you guys, if you're unfamiliar with the term box, it's anything from the last down hand on the line of scrimmage, 5 yards back and behind. So you're literally making a box. So from here, last down hand to 5 yards, there's the box. So if I'm running a 4-2-5 defense, I've got four defensive linemen and two linebackers in what I call the box.
And that makes it – so when you're in a defense like this, how much easier is it to go against a team like Baylor that they're going to be playing fast and maybe you're not going to have to make those substitutions quite as often with switching guys in and out, switching, getting five defensive backs out on the field all the time?
So Baylor's a fun case. Baylor is as – tight of a back as you can get. When you're running a 4-3 against Baylor, here's the reason why Baylor's such a pain. Because each one of these dudes can run a 4-3. They run a 4-3-40. If you're on a 4-3-40, you're probably running faster than everybody else. So if I'm playing defense, I'm going to line up a corner and a free safety, or a corner and, say, a nickel. And then I'm going to have to play a safety over the top in the chance that one of these guys gets beat. So same side over here, I'm going to play a corner. Say I got an end, tackle, nose, and Mike. This nickel is replacing my Sam because I need more speed on the field. So in our defense at Iowa State, this guy's almost always going to be a nickel. He's 4-2-5, meaning four linemen, two linebackers. So my Will is going to have to play in space a little bit, and then I'm going to have to put my strong safety over here. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's my 11 guys. Against Baylor, this is where things get a little bit hairy, where you have to be extremely gap sound. So this Will is going to have to be responsible for the outside, end, nose, Mike, tackle, end. This is where you got to be gap sound. The problem is, if anybody gets beyond this, these safeties have to play wide, and you have this huge open space in the middle. That's why Baylor's so effective. Now, where your advantage is, rather than playing a 3-4, is you've got four guys to hold up five linemen, meaning this Mike and Will can play laterally. So they can play, if there's any seam that opens up, they can actually play to it. Whereas a 3-4, again, if we redraw that, nose, end, end, we have to keep a Mike and a Will in the box. And then we'll play another backer out here. If I'm going to play these five in the box, these guards are uncontested to my linebackers. And again, a little more football 101, mm-hmm. where your tackles should be made are these two dudes right here. Your inside linebacker should account for somewhere between 40 and 50% of the tackles in any given game. Because if the defensive line is doing their job, those guys can just run around and mirror this running back and make the tackles that they have to make.
So in your opinion, would that make Harvey probably the odds-on favorite to lead the team in tackles?
Willie Harvey should lead the team in tackles, yes. So the guys that are going to be your biggest tacklers, not necessarily against Baylor because they spread super, they spread way out. If this guy moves back in and becomes a tight end, then your strong safety can come back in. This is Kamari Cottonmoya. So Kamari is going to be playing an inside safety, so he's going to be a hitter. So your tacklers are going to be Willie Harvey, one, Kane Seeley, two, Kamari Cottonmoya, three. Because everything here is inside the box. Everything's tight.
For sure. So would you, in your opinion, I guess, does the 4-3, 4-2-5, does that just fit better in the Big 12 because you can go, you know, you can play it better against Baylor, you could play it against Kansas State? It would, like, it just kind of fits better for all the different kind of looks you're going to see?
In my opinion, yes. It gives you, like I said, it gives your linebackers a lot more freedom. And this is another, I guess, clarification, because if you're going to listen to Sage Rosenfels talk, Sage Rosenfels is great at explaining when he's calling play-by-play, and he's going to be doing that against Northern Iowa. Sage is great with talking about where the techniques are in the defensive line. So this is, it's relevant for the discussion now. So if I've got my 4-3, and we're just going to talk about the front now, so ignore the rest of this. So the reason why the 4-3 is a great look, excuse me, nose and tackle and end, Mike, Will. The reason why this is a great look for Iowa State in particular is because each one of these positions has a different body type and a different role that that's required. Mm-hmm. Where in the 3-4, this one guy that's right over the top has to be an absolute truck. He's got to be a huge dude because any one of these three linemen could be blocking him. So DeMond Tucker was that guy. He had to be a boulder in the middle because any one direction can be coming and he can't allow himself to be moved. Otherwise, these linebackers, they're going to get climbed up to. So where the advantage of this new 4-2 defense is going to come in is these guys are, they can become more pass rushers because they're only ever going to be encountered by the outside of one offensive lineman. So guys like Gabe Luna have a really good position because Gabe's not a huge guy. He's about my size. I think he may be a couple inches taller, maybe 6'2", 245, 250. He's not a huge guy. And if you're having to take on 600 pounds and you're only 240, 250, that's a lot to deal with. So what this allows is your end can be an up-the-field player. And that athleticism and that speed that we've got with guys like Luna, with guys like Jaquan Bailey, they've got speed to play on the outside. This is called a three technique. So if you ever hear someone playing, Mitchell Meyer says it all the time, is I'm going to play the three and I'll play the end. So an offensive line, the way this defensive line is aligned is low numbers in the middle, high numbers on the outside. So if I'm ever aligning, this is a zero nose is right over the top. We got a shade, and this is going to be a one or a shade. So a one technique is going to be where the nose is playing, and the tackle is going to be playing a three technique, and these guys are going to be playing fives. Google an image of defensive line techniques, and you'll get a full description of what these are. But the difference between the one and the three is a huge difference, because the tackle, this three, playing a defensive tackle, three technique, this guy is a much more speed player. Mitchell Myers is perfect for a three technique. He's a little undersized, about 270, 280, depending on how much weight he's put back on. But he's allowed to be quick because he's pretty much playing head up here to slightly inside the tackle. This is where the beef has to be. So DeMond Tucker's a guy that's your more of your true nose. So you have big, heavy, athletic, big, really athletic. And you allow the diversification of your spots that you've got.
How hard can it be to play that nose guard position? You know, someone like Jamal Johnson that might have to get in there and play this year as a true freshman. I would imagine that's a pretty tough position to play, isn't it?
The nose tackle, again, it's got to be – this is your only position that's got to be a bull. He's got to be an absolute boulder that's just sitting there, because most plays – say we're going to be running an inside zone in this direction. This guy is going to get double-teamed right off the start. So – if you're getting double-teamed by 330 pounds and 310 pounds, you have to be able to resist 640 pounds of human trying to move you out of the way. Now, Jamal Johnson is 18 years old.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Big 12, son. You're going to have 600 pounds of dudes that all bench 400 pounds trying to push you out of the way. So this guy still has to be a boulder and still has to hold his place to allow these linebackers to run around.
So then would it be just as hard to play the Mike linebacker is a freshman then too?
The Mike linebacker, you're going to incur a little bit of contact at Mike linebacker, but in a 4-2, it's a much easier transition to be a linebacker than it is in a 4-3, or than a 3-4. Because in a 3-4, if we're in this 3-4 look, and I've got end, nose, end, right away, we're still going to try and, as an offense, still try and double team this guy, but most likely, he's going to be right in front of me. All this guard's going to do is use one arm and push this lineman back over the top, and then he is head on with a linebacker. So in a 3-4 defense, the linebackers get hit a lot, and they have to be able to play with their hands and be physical and take on guards. That's a hard thing to learn as an 18-year-old kid. If you're allowed not to do that, and you've got nose tackle, and you've got nothing in your face, as a linebacker, you can just run to tackle a football, which is a much easier position to be in.
Definitely. All right, so we talked a little bit about the offensive line last week. I wanted to know if you could drop – we should have got a paper towel for this too. Yeah, that was my fault. I had one in here. I actually went and threw it away.
Blame everything on Gray.
Yeah, it's Gray's
fault. Just blame everything on Gray. We
talked about the 66-67 last week on the offensive line. Wasn't that right? Or did I get that backwards?
Pass protection?
Yeah,
60,
pass protection.
Yeah, 66, 67.
Yeah.
That's a man zone protection. Okay. So most pass protections you've got are going to be some combination of a man side and some combination of a zone side. And you can shake this up however many dudes you want to put on each one. So for the sake of even and consistent explanation, we're going to run against a 4-2-5. So in this position, in this protection, we'll say 66 is the call, which, again, general football speak, usually evens are going to be to the right. So 66 is the call. What that means is to the call side, you've got a man-style protection, meaning no matter where these guys go, my tackle is going to be manned up here, and my guard is going to be manned up here. So on this side, I've got to be accounted for man-to-man. So if these guys kick way out, or these guys go slant this way, or slant in, slant out, whatever, I'm responsible tackle to end, guard to tackle. This is where the only play in the entire Iowa State playbook where it hurts not to have Jake Campos is in when he's on the man side of a pass protection. Here's why. So on the back side, all these guys are responsible for is I'm going to take some gap away from the call. So a man zone protection means I'm taking this here, this here, and this here. So if I get slant, blitz, I'm 1-2-3 right across. If I get no blitz and I'm straight up the field, this center just gets to help wherever he wants to. So if you have an inexperienced offensive tackle, you're going to almost always want to play them on the slide side, on the zone side, where they just have to step one direction and take anybody that comes, because you're not a true man-up protection. Now, you may ask, who's responsible for this guy? Because if this linebacker runs through, we're still in the zone. We're still accounted for. Most likely, again, a little bit of football 101, this guy's not going to disappear to the backside, because if we're running, you're huge gap. So who's responsible for this guy is the running back. So this is going to be the hardest adjustment for any running back to make, is picking up a blitzer one-on-one. So anytime you run a pass protection, there's any combination of man and zone sides. Now, the counter to not having a tackle that's all that good at a true man side protection, which is what if I don't know if it's say it's Julian Good-Jones, say I, maybe it is, maybe it's not, is that I don't know if he's a great pass protector. Let's say hypothetically, whoever it is isn't good at one-to-one man-on blocking with a defensive end. And let's say it's going to be our right tackle because J.P. Filbert's over here. So we'll use the same cut. This is my man-to-man block right here. So this is Julian Good-Jones on whoever Baylor's running out there at 6'7", 260 pounds.
Sean Oakman.
Sean Oakman. Yeah. So this is Sean Oakman. Okay. Now this is it's a bear of an assignment if I'm going to try and block this guy by myself. So the ways you can adjust to doing this is if I've got a tight end that I can put right here, then this does a couple things to this defensive end. Either he's going to widen his alignment from a start, which straight out of mathematics, if he's got a farther distance to travel, even if I don't touch him at all, it takes him longer to get there. So if I move a tight end up close, then this end has to widen. Now, let's say he doesn't. Let's say they still play him tight. And I'm still man-to-man. So this is still man protection, zone, zone, zone. What if I know that as a defensive end, this guy is mandatorily responsible for this gap? Because on the snap, a defensive end doesn't know if it's a run or a pass, so he's got to play in his specific gap. So I know by process of elimination, this Will is responsible for this run gap, and we're responsible here. So I know that he's going to play outside. So as a tackle, I know that instead of trying to get him square like this, I can shade him a little bit outside, and then my tight end can take a pot shot right to him. So as I go to pass set and I'm a tackle and I invite this defensive end up this way, if I get a tight end to pop him and slow him down, then I have I'm blocking a wounded duck. I'm not trying to block a guy going at full speed. So if you ever have a man side protection, you can move a tight end or your tailback's playing back here. This guy, say he doesn't blitz, do the same thing. I take a pot shot and slow down that defensive end. So instead of blocking a full speed guy who has nothing to slow him down except me as a tackle, I bring in someone else to help slow him down, and then I can try and block a guy that's half speed as opposed to a guy that's full speed.
So is that that tight end position, is that one that, you know, the guys that they have playing like the F position could really excel in, the Cole Andersons? I think maybe Justin Chandler's played there quite a bit. Brian Bonacci's played there a little bit, I think.
This is where you've got that F position, which is kind of a combination fullback tight end guy, where he's a lot of times going to be about 3 yards off the line of scrimmage, and he's going to be somewhere inside the tackles. Depending on where his alignment is, you can move him anywhere. So again, this guy's got to stay out here. So I know that if my quarterback's setting up, give or take, right in this region, all I have to do is not let this guy get here. So if I push him out this way, or if I push him up the field, or if I push him across the formation, all I got to do is protect this spot on the field.
Am I crazy for thinking that could possibly open up some maybe some good like screen pass type action with like the fullback, I guess? Am I crazy for that?
You're getting to a whole new can of worms, but this is football is, I'll take a step back from that specific question. Football is such a simple game because if you understand the basic assignment of what a defense has to do, you can do anything to mess with it. So let's take a pass play, for example, to diagram how a screen would work, say a halfback screen.
You might want to take a step back away from, like, towards the door, though. I don't want to make sure you're not getting in the way of the camera.
Okay.
My bad, Jeff. Sorry.
It's fine. I get so excited sometimes. And I just want to make sure I take your student ID and give you the proper basketball. So let's say, for example, we're running a screen play to the tailback here. What I have to do is I have to harness what the defense is trying to do and get right behind it. So a defensive end's responsible for this outside position, this nose tackle, and any pass rush. The two tackles have to be responsible for forming this. So this is called... Pop quiz.
The pocket. Yeah.
So anytime you're running a pass rush system, these two inside guys have to form in the middle, and these two ends have to form the edge of the pocket. Because contrary to what people may think, defenses want a pocket and then they want to squeeze the life out of that pocket. So if I have Reggie White here and then two third graders playing at nose tackle, it doesn't matter how good of a pass rusher this guy is if there's never any front of the pocket formed. So if I'm trying to get a pocket, or if I'm a defense, I'm trying to form this pocket with two guys in the middle, tight up front, and two guys on the outside that squeeze the outside and form the edges of this pocket. So this is what these guys are going to try and do. This is right here. This is basic defense. So if I want to run a tailback screen, I want to hit this. I have to hit it behind the line of scrimmage. Otherwise, it's illegal. So that takes my completable zone to about right here, all the way across the ball. So now, how do I harness what these guys want to do to get me a ball right here? So if I'm an offensive tackle, I'm going to try and set, and then I will literally take this guy and set, and I'm going to throw him up the field. He's already running this way anyway, so I'm going to throw him up the field. So he ends up down here, which now I've got this part caved off. If I'm a tackle, I'm going to shove this guy that way, and then all of a sudden, this entire area is open. So once I throw this guy by, I'm going to release to block safety, corner, whoever. And as a guard, I'm going to throw this guy and try and block this will. All of a sudden, this is not including anybody on this side. I have half a side of a screen. I've got a huge open zone to drop any ball I want to in there. And that give me Kenne or give me Montgomery or give me Mike Warren one-on-one with the safety. And this is how a general screenplay is run based on what the defense wants to do.
For sure. What about if you make that into like a wide receiver screen?
So if I make it into a wide receiver screen, I do the same thing. Uh-huh. I'm going to still try and get the same thing. My completable zone, I can only complete it right here. I can't complete it any farther back. Otherwise, the guys can react too fast. I can't complete it any farther down the field. Otherwise, I have a penalty because I have linemen blocking downfield. So if I'm trying to complete a wide receiver screen, all this guy's going to do is run to that zone from the outside. So anytime you're running a screen, it's somewhere in this region with a tackle trying to get rid of a defensive end, a guard trying to get rid of a nose tackle on the inside, and get forming kind of a bubble where you're going to get this screen to be run into.
So would something like that be like a bubble screen? Would it be like a tunnel screen almost?
This is called a tunnel screen because you're running down the tunnel.
Yeah.
Now, a bubble screen technically doesn't involve linemen.
Receivers?
It's a flash screen. Bubble screen would be if I've got this receiver, he's running out this way, and he's blocking right on the line of scrimmage.
That's what Iowa State tried to run a lot with like Mark Mangino, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a great play call against some defenses. It's terrible against others.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that one. If Iowa State's got an offensive line that isn't maybe quite as good, mm-hmm. with the pass game, what can you do besides, do your techniques there, the 67, 66, the zone pass, what can they do to maybe get the ball, besides just Joel Lanning throwing the ball faster, mm-hmm. what can they do to just get the ball out quicker?
So what they can do to get the ball out quicker is, there's one, it's quicker routes. Two, there's... you run screens because that forces the defensive end. If he feels that he's getting pulled up the field, if he's too clean, he's going to motor down because there's a pass getting completed right behind him. Mm-hmm. So you run screens and you can effectively run the ball because those things kind of reduce it. But another way you can do it, as far as if I want to run double posts and I want to throw a 50-yard bomb to Alan Lazard, there are other ways to protect it. So these are called full slide protections. So full slide protections are both really fun and really easy to do, but they take a little more people.
This is what I can do when I hit LB on Madden, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
I haven't played Madden since, I think, Madden 2006.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's too bad, man.
I know. I play Madden Mobile. I'm on the phone, and I do that every time I'm in the bathroom, so.
Mobile. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So we've got... Say we're going, yeah, that's a bathroom joke. Laughing at me, Gray. So say we want to take a huge shot, and we've got two receivers to this side because this is where we want this big ball to go. So I've got my X, I got my Z, whomever they are. In order to protect all of these gaps while not isolating anybody is we're going to run a full slide or full zone protection, whatever you may want to call it. So my quarterback is going to drop to this position. So again, all I have to do is protect right here. Mm-hmm. This is the pocket that I want to keep. If it collapses, as long as this area where he's throwing from is safe and he feels comfortable, we're good. So my tailback's going to be to this side, and I'm going to have a tight end somewhere, whether it's attached or behind or whatever. Now, all the responsibilities of these guys is going to be zone this way, zone this way, zone this way. And he's going to be right off the edge, and I'll be right off the edge there. So in any time you have a – you want to take a big shot, this is called a seven-man protection because five, six, seven guys are blocking. So if we're unable to straight-up man this end, one thing we can do is just full slide – everybody blocks down to their inside. You can handle any blitz that they try and bring. They want to do some type of twist, something, whatever. Everybody's accounted for. Everybody's blocking somebody. And nobody's one-on-one with a defensive end. Except this guy. Now, the difference is everything's moving this way. And again, a defensive end doesn't know for a fact it's a pass or a run. So he has to respect the fact that my tackle's coming out at me, so I have to fade out a little bit. So I, again, make the distance longer for him to travel. So a seven-man protection is another way that we can get big shots without having to isolate Julian Good-Jones on Sean Oakman.
Mm-hmm. How difficult is it as a freshman running back to be able to adjust to the speed of this?
This isn't so bad. This is horrible. When I don't have any type of help on the inside as a true as a freshman running back, and I'm going to be isolated one-on-one uh-huh. with the defensive end, this is not a great look for me. However, there's a cheat.
Yeah, okay.
What is not illegal in high school is illegal in NCAA and pros. It's called a cut block, where if I know that this guy's coming, and that's Sean Oakman, and he's 6'9" and 290 pounds, I run as hard as I can and put my shoulder pad right on his thigh and make him fall over. That's basically, I'm trying to chop down a tree. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to run and cut block this guy.
As long as he's not engaged, right?
As long as he's not engaged.
Right.
As long as we are not engaged with him.
Okay.
So the difference is if I'm an offensive line, or if I'm a defensive lineman and I am engaging with a tackle, I'm still eligible to be blocked. If my tackle is engaging with me and he's trying to block me, then you can't.
Okay.
So if a defensive end is engaging with someone else, able to be cut. If he's getting engaged with, not able to be cut. And that's a chop block.
Yeah. Okay. Man, this is just I feel like we just have learned a lot of information right here.
Football 101 and yeah. 102. We talked about screens. That's football 102.
Adam, do you have any questions?
I have a lot of questions. Not on headset, though.
Just tell me a question and I'll say it. All right. Yeah, definitely. All right. I did have one question on the internet, Jeff, that somebody wanted to know, what's one team you'd like to see Iowa State beat this year?
One team that I'd like to see Iowa State beat this year? There's a lot of teams I'd like to see Iowa State beat this year because I want a total number of wins, not one specific win. Mm-hmm. For the sake of my own ease, and I don't mean this in the it's Iowa State Super Bowl sense, I want Iowa State to get Iowa for the sake of an early quality opponent with a new coaching staff, in-state rivalry, allows you to get confidence built with your team, and it allows you to be, I guess, more comfortable saying that we're the better team in the state. Because obviously, every Iowa State and Iowa fan believes that their team's the better one.
Definitely.
When you win that game, it's much easier to trash talk.
For sure. So next week, should we do like a – are we going to do like a UNI deep dive?
We can. We'll do a little whiteboard, do a little video, a little deep dive on what UNI does. For the sake of argument, the last few years, UNI has been a three down front, so they've been 3-4 primarily, which is both good and bad because each one has their advantages, good and bad for Iowa State, and we'll talk about why that is.
Definitely. So we'll be back next week, noon, Tuesday. As always, CFTV. Presented by our good friends over at AgriGold. I'm Jared Stansberry. He's Jeff Woody. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.